This week, the flaming sword that guards the Garden of Eden. A sword wielded by the Tyler of the Lodge. What are its connections to the Norse gods, Sumeria, and what can we learn from a theosophic point of view? Then, in an article by past Grand Secretary John L. Cooper, we talk about Freemasonry as a progressive moral science. Not a progress from degree to degree, but rather a progress in a philosophical human science. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode number 563. I want to thank the contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners of the WCY podcast. With that said, I want to thank all of those people who financially contribute to this podcast to make it possible. That's 50 episodes every single year, all free, all the time, and it's all thanks to them. And I also want to thank everybody out there who continues to share the show with their friends and brothers, people who like and subscribe to the WCY podcast channel, and a whole lot more. So thank you very much to all of you. We can't do it without you. All right. First up this week, I want to read this awesome piece by Christine Wilson Slack, and it's about the flaming sword. Those of you who know me know I love a lot of the esoteric slash philosophical areas of Freemasonry. I also love this ability to look at the lore and to decode it and ask those interesting questions, not unlike famed author Eric von Daniken used to ask, right? Chariots of the Gods? This was always kind of interesting to me because I was somebody who was always into things like Leonard Nimoy hosting In Search Of, which was, of course, later taken up by Mr. Mitch Pileggi. If you know who that is, he's from The X-Files. So it was always really cool. I'd love for them to bring that back. But in any case, I guess none of that really has too much in common with the article we're going to read, aside from the idea that we're covering something mythical, the Flaming Sword. Now, this was published back in January of 2022 by our trusted colleague over at the Universal Freemasonry blog, Christine Wilson Slack. The Flaming Sword. For many Freemasons, the Flaming Sword is a common symbol used to guard the entrance to the Masonic Temple, wielded by the Tyler of the Lodge. This is a full-sized sword, unsharpened, carried by the Guardian to denote the entrance to Masonic work, is under his care and jurisdiction. What is a flaming sword and what is its significance to Freemasons? History of the Sword. From Mackey's Masonic Dictionary, we learn that the flaming sword is a representative of the sword carried by the cherubim, who guarded the entrance to the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden, and who also drove Adam and Eve from the garden due to their transgressions. However, this may only be the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the symbolism of the flaming sword. Quote, "After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the garden of the Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the Tree of Life." End quote. Genesis 3:24. However, this may only be the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the symbolism of the flaming sword. For a brief historical look, swords were first produced around 3300 BCE in the Bronze Age, first being produced in the Middle East. They were created from the manufacture of bronze, and generally about 2 feet long, 24 inches or 60 centimeters. The sword developed naturally from the knife, a single sharp edge, and dagger, dual sharp edges. Swords' development in China was of similar time period and shape, while the Indian subcontinent developed these weapons about 1,500 years later. The weapon didn't really gain prominence until the Iron Age and the early medieval period in Europe, when it became more sophisticated and a more vivid symbol of potency and domination. During the 11th century, Normans developed the use of quillions or crossguards, which also gave rise to its connection with Christian iconography, the cross of the Christ. There is an existent short article on the history of the Tyler or Tyler sword with some of the same references as noted above, found at the link here. I would like to add to some deeper background, looking beyond the traditional story to perhaps uncover some additional symbolism. Norse gods and Sumeria. Muspelheim is the home of the fire giants in the Norse religion, and Surtur is the guardian of this world. This realm is known as the World Destroyers and suitor is its garden, is armed with a flaming sword. This sword features prominently in the creation and the destruction of the world, owing to the creative and destructive properties of fire. The sword is said to have created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the light givers and Earth's sky. The sword is also said to be the death of Freyr, who represents peace and fertility, and the sword also contributes to the destruction of Bifrost. Written prior to Christianity coming to Iceland, the story comes from the poetic Edda, specifically the Völuspá. Sections can also be found in the Prose Edda. Quote, Suter moves from the south with a scathe of branches. There shines from his sword the son of gods, of the slain. End quote. The poetic Edda. In ancient Sumeria, the god of Assarludu is noted as having a flaming sword, ensuring the most perfect safety. He is known as Light of the Gods, and the shining god who lights our path. He has been seen as one of the gods who holds the fate of man, and has been discovered in some ancient Sumerian incantation manuscripts. In ancient Hebrew texts, the sword appears to be related to two angels, Uriel and Jophiel, both having a similar import with regards to truth, wisdom, and judgment. Additionally, according to Eastern Orthodox liturgy, the flaming sword placed by the unnamed cherubim in the Garden of Eden was removed after the Christ's resurrection in order that humans may once again enter paradise. An esoteric view. The flaming sword, more popular in literature than perhaps in actual use or fact, seems to be symbolically related to several key concepts, all appropriate to the office of Tyler, or guardian of the temple entrance. It may represent that only those that hold truth or wisdom may enter holy places or stand in the presence of that truth. It also seems to represent the power of that truth, perhaps in the form of spirit, manifested in earthly realms by fire. In the light of the fire, it seems that impurities might be burnt away so that only what is real may be seen. In Masonic ritual, the Tyler's place in the procession of members indicates that he is, quote-unquote, lighting the path of the gods, and perhaps establishing that barrier, like the Norse believed, of creation and destruction. The flaming sword creates the sacred space, and is also its destruction. Swords also typically represent strength and virtue. It is a symbol of the strength of mind and clarity of reason. The flaming sword, with its addition of the fire element, indicates there is a living mind that oversees the actions of the universe. This living mind creates the Ring Pass Knot, also known as the Circle Pass Knot, an allegorical circle within which are confined all those who still labor under the delusion of separateness. This is also the circumscribed ring of the material world, separating us from the rest of the manifested universe. Extrapolated, this indicates that the lodge within the temple, as created by the procession of the Tyler, is a universe unto itself. As above, so below. Thus, the Tyler begins the process of establishing the Masonic ritual energetic boundary, as well as deconstructing it once the actual lodge meeting is closed. In this way, the Tyler is unique in that he is separated from the ritual workings, but uniquely responsible for the beginning and the ending. Loved this piece. Of course, I had been very familiar with the idea of the cherubim and the tree of life and these kinds of things. If you're looking for a more historical outlook, as Christine talks about here, the medieval period in Europe where it becomes more sophisticated and a more vivid symbol of potency and domination, I would recommend you read the article by Brother Guide Sobecki called The Sad Truth of Masonic Swords, of which he also has an excellent presentation to boot. I loved the esoteric view here, in particular the mention of the Ring Pass Knot. Right, this is a really interesting kind of circle, point within a circle type idea, but the separation is an interesting one in its ideology, and actually Madame Blavatsky writes quite a bit about it, and we all know Blavatsky, and so with that, take it or leave it what you want from it. No doubt, though, she said some prolific and interesting things. I will post a link back to the Ring Pass Knot, which comes from the Theosophy Wiki, in the show notes for you to further investigate. For the Craftsman Plus, we often think about the various instruments of a Masonic lodge as also symbolic of something that we do within our mind. Now, of course, we've got these mental working tools. We have the actual duties of the lodge officers. We also have their esoteric symbolism, and of course, perhaps what they mean in the context of proper ritual. When we're thinking about working tools, in this case, a Tyler's sword, for a Craftsman Plus, what do you think the Tyler's sword has guarded you from? What has that sword kept out of your perfect garden, if you will? Next up, I want to talk a little bit about MasonicCon South. MasonicCon South is going to be happening very soon at Greensboro Masonic Temple. It's a great place to go. Great educational venue happening in the North Carolina area. It's a full day of education plus a chance to hang out with all of your favorite brothers as we come together and have a great time at a brew night where we're also going to be doing an extended show. And I'll have more about this exclusive, cool little session with friends. But if you're looking for the speakers, who's going to be there? Well, they have a ton of great people coming out. The speakers for the event are Worshipful Brother Joe Martinez, who is going to be doing a great presentation. We've got Brother P.D. Newman, who will be speaking as well. And we all know that we're huge fans of what he talks about and his deep esoteric knowledge. We've got Worshipful Brother John Ruark who will be there also. Worshipful Brother Jason Richards will be there doing a brand new talk. And I finally know the topic. I don't think I can say what the topic is yet, but it's going to be awesome. Most Worshipful Brother Sean Bradshaw, past Grand Master of North Carolina, will be there doing a talk as well. I'll be doing a talk. And last but not least, we have confirmation that Sovereign Grand Commander Jim Cole is going to come in for a talk as well. This is going to be a truly unique event that will also feature a festive board. There will be Masonic vendors there. You know, it's just a big gathering place for a bunch of brothers to get together, to ask questions, to hold masterminds, to be exposed to new educational topics, things that they may not have heard before, or maybe you go and you hear something awesome that is an affirmation of your own philosophical interests. Either way, more to come. That is going to be on October 15th. Again, Greensboro Masonic Temple in Greensboro, North Carolina. October 15th, all day. There are only 10 festive board tickets left, just to give you guys an idea. Just 10. So if you want to attend the festive board, that is going to be something you need to hop on immediately and get that as soon as possible. You can find everything you want about how to get the tickets at MasonicConSouth.com. Something I'm very passionate about is, of course, science and social sciences and how those things interplay with human psychology and the progression of, I guess, human nature. I found this article that comes from the June-July issue of the California Freemason magazine from all the way back in 2010. I'll have a link back to this article in the show notes, but this is under the heading of Masonic Education, and we're just going to read it in full, and it's called A Progressive Moral Science by John L. Cooper III, past Grand Secretary. One of the peculiar phrases that appears in our Masonic ritual is that Masonry is a progressive moral science. The term science comes from the Latin word scientia, which in turn comes from the word scire or seer, to know. Nowadays, the word is associated with a body of knowledge developed in accordance with the scientific method of inquiry, that is, by inductive reasoning based on observation of the physical world. However, when our ritual first came into existence, it had a broader meaning: the importance of progress. The Oxford English Dictionary notes that the original meaning of science was the state or fact of knowing, knowledge or cognizance of something specified or implied. It is in this sense that Freemasonry uses the term science to describe itself. In the Fellowcraft degree, we are reminded of the importance of making progress as a Mason. We use the term advanced to describe moving from being an entered apprentice mason to becoming a fellow craft mason, as in being advanced to the second degree of masonry. I congratulate you on your preferment. The phrase in the charge that comes just before a new fellow craft is told that Freemasonry is a progressive moral science. If Freemasonry is defined in this context as a progressive moral science, and the fellow craft is expected to advance when he becomes more conversed with it, then every Mason is bound to the same obligation. If so, then we should take a closer look at what it means to pursue advancement in an organization devoted to a body of knowledge defined as a progressive moral science. Bound to a greater law. First, morals have to do with behavior. It is not an accident that the word morals is associated with mores, meaning customs, and with morale. We use the term moral law to describe a list of morals that members of a community are expected to observe. Some are universal, being found in almost all societies, such as laws against theft or murder. Others may be specific to a particular society at a particular time, and over time become obsolete. An example of the latter are sumptuary laws, laws regarding regulating the consumption of luxury goods and often intended to preserve social class distinctions. In the Massachusetts Bay Colony, in colonial times, for example, only people with a personal fortune of at least £200 were allowed to wear lace, a law which was soon ignored and eventually disappeared from history. It is in this sense that Freemasonry describes itself as a progressive moral science. In other words, Freemasons are expected to take a serious look at customs which may have no base for their existence, and which may, in fact, be contrary to other and more valid ethical values, such as treating people equally, regardless of social or economic status. Secondly, Freemasonry acknowledges that we are bound to a greater law than mere custom. Our commitment to the concept of a great architect of the universe implies that there is something more important than mere custom in defining that which is moral in the understanding of Freemasonry. A study in morality, a commitment to something above and beyond ourselves, means that we are bound by much more than just our own personal ideas as to what defines moral and what is beyond morality. Our understanding of the larger picture of morality is deeply intertwined with our belief in a God who looks beyond that which is mere convenience in our own simple definition of morality. It is this commitment that prevents us from making morality simply a play upon words and brings us into the presence of the One that enables us to reach beyond our own simple understanding of morality into a greater understanding outside of ourselves. To understand our commitment to God is to understand our commitment to morality in the way that we could not otherwise understand. Freemasonry is indeed a science. It is a body of knowledge that enables us to approach God with a clear conscience. It is much more than a replication of customs from times past. It is a promise of the future to come. It is a progressive science because it is ever-evolving and because it brings us into the presence of God, whose understanding of morality is an ever-expanding application of the greatest gift He can give, that of love for all others, and a brotherhood in which all men and women are created equal. All right. I love this piece because it has a similar bent to something that I wrote a while back, which you can find on thecivicfreemason.com. And this is the idea that Masonry is a progressive moral science, and that we should hold ourselves to those ideas. And we're not talking about progress from degree to degree, but rather a progressive moral stance, which does imply society and civics and norms and acceptance and all of these things that many people are deeming to be political and yet are really just more of humanist causes. For our Craftsman Plus, I would love to know, what progressive idea, regardless of what it is, whether it's a new system to track membership or something as wild and crazy as a ritual change, what is something progressive that you feel the fraternity could do in the future that will make it, if not more relevant, at least as relevant as it should be and the time that it exists within. That's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining me on this edifying journey where we've talked about this week the flaming sword and its esoteric nature, as well as progressive moral science that is Freemasonry. One more time, I want to thank all of our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners for assisting us in bringing the show to everyone interested in the royal art. If you're curious on how you can help support the show, head on over to wcypodcast.com, click on support the show, and check out your options. I just want to thank everyone out there who's been assisting in the support of the program also through the shop, picking up some handmade leather items and things. I'll be launching the Skull and Crown website once more once I get more products up and listed, and you'll see more of the things that we're creating, things that we can sell to help fund the show and other Masonic education endeavors. With that, I'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level for Whence Came You. I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
That's it. Okay, girl.